Good day, and welcome to the AnaCap Financial Europe conference call. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Chris Ross-Robert. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Aaron. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the AnaCap Financial Europe S.A. TCAF RAIF quarterly investor presentation for the period ending September 30, 2018. As set out on page two of the presentation, Justin, Ed, and I will take you through the presentation, and then we'll open the line to the Q&A session at the end. In addition to the Q&A session, please remember you can send any questions through to info@anacapfe.com or through the website at www.anacapfe.com, where we'll endeavor to reply to them as soon as we can. Details can be found at the end of the presentation. Before I begin, can I please draw your attention to the disclaimer on page one of the presentation, which highlights that the presentation is produced solely for informational purposes and cautions against any forward-looking statements, and that by attending this call and reviewing the presentation, you're agreeing to the limitations set out on page one of the presentation. I'd like to start by turning to page three, basis of preparation of the financial statements, before handing over to Justin. Results for AFE we are presenting today cover the period 1st of January 2018 to the 30th of September 2018. As the acquisition of the portfolio business was completed on the 21st of July 2017, there are comparatives included within the financial statements for the previous year, but these only reflect the results of the company since the date of acquisition of the portfolio business. Therefore, in order to provide bondholders and other interested parties the comparative data for the 9 months to the 30th of September 2018, this presentation includes the results of the portfolio business for the 9 month period to the 30th of September 2017. I'll now hand over to Justin, who will start by covering the highlights on page four. Justin.
Thanks, Chris. First off, we've completed just over $22 million of new portfolio purchases in the third quarter, which results in deployment for the first 9 months of the year totaling 131.5 million euros compared to just under 40 million euros for the same period last year. That's over 80% of our target for the full calendar year of 2018, which was a slightly raised target given more limited deployment last year, including an element of carryover of deals from 2017 into 2018. This represents selective deployment in predominantly secured debt with further diversification of our ERC across key geographies, with just under 46% of total ERC now attributable to Italy compared to 71.7% as of the 30th of September last year. We're seeing continued strong cash generation with last 12-month adjusted EBITDA of 90 million euros, which is more than 15% increase above the last 12 months to 30th of September 2017. Our leverage is in line with guidance with net debt to adjusted EBITDA at 4 times and the LTV ratio at just under 63%, both only incrementally higher than 1 year ago. Gross collections of 77.7 million for the 9 months so far this year are in line with forecast and 3% greater than collections for the 9 months ended 30th September 2017, despite more limited deployment last year, demonstrating embedded growth in collections from the back book. Our market leading cost structure with total operating costs, including overheads of 28.1%, is supported by ongoing development in our digitally enabled operating platform. I'll turn it back over to Chris to go through the key financial highlights.
Thank you, Justin. So as you just heard from Justin, overall we've seen strong growth in the last 12 months adjusted EBITDA, up 15.5% to 90 million. The growth in deployment being driven by deployment that took place in 2016 and early 2017. And we've seen modest growth in collections in the 9 months to the 30th of September 2018 of 2.5%. As anticipated and discussed last quarter, revenue in the 9 months to the 30th of September 2018 has dropped by 8.2% to $55.1 million compared to the same period in the prior year. As ERC at the start of the period was $437.9 million compared to $508 million in March 17. Again, substantially all of the deployment in Q2 and in Q3 of new capital took place in the last few days of the quarter. Therefore, the benefit of recent deployment will feed through into revenue in the coming months. The total operating cost ratio increased from 27.6% for the 9 months to the 30th of September to 28.1% in the 9 months to the 30th of September 2018, reflecting some modest investment in asset management platform in Spain and Portugal, which Ed will cover later in the presentation. It's worth noting that the operating cost we refer to is the total operating costs, excluding non-recurring items, rather than the cost-to-collect ratio, and therefore includes all the overheads of the business. Again, I shall remind you that our overhead structure is predominantly variable and relative to the value of portfolios held in the business. Our relatively low overheads, driven by the use of our digital platform, Minerva, and its variable nature, results in an overall higher margin. In summary, AFE's total operating costs remain market-leading. However, we should point out again, as I did last quarter, that the overall operating cost ratio is driven by strong collections in the 9 months to date that includes the realization of a few large positions that have a relatively low cost to collect as a percentage of collections. It also reflects the maturity of the book acquired by AFE, where costs had been invested and expensed in advance of receiving collections. The operating cost ratio can be impacted in the short term by significant deployment and onboarding costs which are expensive incurred. As I said at the start, LTM adjusted EBITDA to the 30th of September 2018 is up 15.5% to $90 million, generating significant free cash flow during the period. Turning to page 6, growth in collections and ERC. We can see the graphic representation of the growth in gross collections since 2014 to 2017, and the comparative periods for the 9 months to 30th September 2017-18. From 2014 to 2017, the CAGR on core collections, which excludes sales of previously owned Spanish and Portuguese portfolios, shows a growth of 30%. In the current year, collections have grown by 2.5%. I should remind you that growth in collections lag deployment, particularly given the nature of the secure portfolios we've recently invested in. We, however, anticipate the collections to grow more rapidly in 2019 and 20. ERC has grown to $578.9 million following significant deployment in the June 2018 and a further $22 million of deployment in Q3 2018, and is now 32% higher than at the start of the year and 24.6% higher than September 2017. The increase in deployment will drive growth in revenue and collections, although given the secured nature of the recent deployment, collections will lag revenue growth. We turn to page 7, deployment by year and geography, increasing diversity across well-known geographies in 2018 deployment. The graph on page 7 sets out the deployment by year and geography of the portfolio business from 2014 to March 2017 and the deployment of AVE since incorporation. In 2018, year-to-date, we've deployed capital across four geographies, the majority being in Spain and Portugal. We remain highly selective in deployment, purchasing a target mix of predominantly secured SME and secured consumer portfolios, which we believe offer better risk-adjusted returns given the underlying collateral. These recent purchases leverage specific expertise stemming from a long track record and established partners in each of these geographies, and demonstrate the company's ability to purchase across a wide range of geographies in a selective manner. We will continue to be highly selective from what remains a large pipeline heading into the year end. Turning to page 8, diversified ERC by geography and asset type. As you can see, following on from the recent deployment of capital in 2018, the company's ERC profile is more reflective of the countries that the ANACAP platform has been operating in for many years, with Portugal and Spain now accounting for 46% of ERC and Italy 46% of ERC. Recent purchases have further diversified ERC by asset type, with secured consumer non-performing loans increasing to 19% from 6% and secured SME increasing to 32% from 21% of ERC for the comparative period, thus demonstrating the company's ability to deploy capital and manage portfolios across a diverse range of asset types and geographies, giving it the ability to be highly selective of where and when it chooses to deploy capital. Turning to page 9, ERC by year and geography. Recent deployment builds in future growth and cash generation out to 2020. The graph on page 9 splits out ERC by year and by geography. 2018 includes actual attributable collections to September 2018 of $75.7 million. You'll note from the profile that given recent purchases and the expected timing of collections, that the business has embedded growth in cash flow from its current book out to 2020, a key lead indicator for adjusted EBITDA growth without any further deployment. In addition, given we have recently deployed capital across four geographies, collections by country are more diversified. We also note that, as in prior year, the last quarter has 40% or circa 50 million of the overall year's target. 2018's were actually 38% in the last quarter, with around 46 million of attributable collections. And whilst we anticipate to be on track as at the end of November, given the nature of collections on secured positions, out of bankruptcy or out of court proceedings, the exact timing of collections can be hard to predict to a particular quarter, as demonstrated on the next slide. Turning to page 10, 9 months of triple collections, 100% of December ERC 2017 forecast. Although we have collected 100% of the December forecast, there has been quarter-on-quarter volatility, which we would expect to see on an ongoing basis and would consider it as normal level of ongoing volatility By way of example, in the current year, H1 2018, we collected 53.9 million, which was 111% of the December 2017 forecast. As we discussed on the Q1 call, during Q1, most of the increase in collections over forecast was driven by timing of collections being better than forecast, related to a number of larger Italian positions that we had forecast to be partly collected in June and in December 2018. This timing difference accounts for most of the cumulative overperformance in H1. In Q3, we were 80% of our December forecast for Q3 collections, as collections that had already been made in the first half that had originally been forecast in Q3, bringing cumulative performance for the year back on track. Given the nature of our secured portfolio, and with some larger average balances, we always anticipate some volatility over the timing of sale of collateral assets. And update estimates within ERC as part of our twice yearly full revaluation exercise, which we also review at the end of each quarter and adjust if necessary. Whilst we are cumulatively on track year to date, there may be times when asset sales are delayed or take longer to realise if we seek to maximise overall returns on a net NPV basis. Turning to page 11, market-leading cost structures and margins. Operating expenses have declined from 35% of collections to 28% of collections from 2014 to the last 9 months year-to-date. Whilst direct collection costs have decreased from 19.6% to 19.1%. Overheads have increased marginally, reflecting an increase in asset management and master servicing capability in Spain and Portugal in advance of significant expected collections from recently acquired portfolios. Normalized adjusted EBITDA is flat in the 9 months to 30 September, and recent deployment will not start to generate significant cash flows until later in 2019 and 20. In conclusion, overall total costs of operating the business are market leading and are predominantly variable in line with activity and assets under management. To date, they reflect the maturity of the back book acquired as the initial portfolio. And as you will recall from previous quarters, when a portfolio is acquired, the cost in the earlier months, first year, tend to be higher as the cost of onboarding the portfolio and initial legal costs are incurred. Following deployment of capital in 2018, we would anticipate that we may see a marginal uptick in costs relative to collections as new portfolios are onboarded and collections follow some months later. Whilst we would anticipate strong growth in adjusted EBITDA, given the ERC profile in 2019 and 20, we would not expect recent deployment to have a positive impact on adjusted EBITDA until then. Turning to page 12, summary of net debt and key net debt metrics. On the left-hand side of page 12, we set out a reconciliation of total debt used as a starting point for calculating net debt to total borrowings per the financial statements. The key difference is being that total debt used for debt metrics ignores the technical accounting treatment for unamortized discount of issuance of notes and unamortized transaction fees, which is recognized through finance costs over time in the P&L, and also includes 4.1 million of bank guarantees that are not within the total borrowings per the financial statement. Turning to key indicators, you'll note that the recent purchases we've had positive impact on the LTV ratio, which now stands at 62.8% against the 75% threshold, giving significant headroom. The super senior revolving credit facility covenant stands at 6.6% against the threshold of 25%, again giving us significant headroom. The fixed cover charge ratio stands at 4.27 times, and we entered the strongest collections quarter with 50 million of liquidity. The net debt to LTM adjusted EBITDA stands at 4.04 and marginally below the guidance of 4.2 given last quarter. Turning to page 13, proven ability to delever, leverage decreased from 4.6 times to 2.68 times prior to recent deployment. You'll note from the graph on the top of this page that since March 2017, the group leverage fell from 4.6 to 2.68 times at the end of March 2018. During that period, we deployed a relatively modest amount of capital, 25.4 million. Following recent deployment in Q2 and Q3, leverage has increased to 4.04 times. This is, of course, a static snapshot at a point in time and reflect the fact that debt has been incurred at the quarter's end. Now, given collections profile of the secured books purchased, collections will follow in future years. And therefore, adjusted EBITDA will lag deployment by some time, as reflected on our ERC profile set out on page 9. Calculating a simple pro forma leverage ratio by applying the current margin based on current operating costs, the current 2020 ERC, suggests an adjusted EBITDA of 114 million in 2020, more than a 25% increase before any further deployment, giving a pro forma leverage ratio of 3.18 times as at the 30th of September 2018. This is further supported by the graph below that demonstrates that the effective lag between deployment in 2016 and growth in adjusted EBITDA with a modest drop following a slowdown of deployment in 2017. I'll now hand over to Ed, who will cover our platform development in Spain and Portugal and some examples of continued innovation. Ed.
Thank you, Chris. In previous presentations, we've outlined how the development of Phoenix Asset Management on our overall Italian panel has tracked the increase of our scale in Italy. And today, turning to page 14, I wanted to briefly describe how the development of our platform in Spain and Portugal is matching our increase in scale in these jurisdictions. In Spain, during April of this year, AIF successfully acquired 100% of the share capital of Galata, a master and special servicer that we have had a relationship with since 2012 and have held an equity stake in since 2014. This transaction provides us with additional local intelligence and on-the-ground presence in support of our master servicing activities. In addition to the Galata transaction, we have increased our panel size to two providers and also successfully achieved extended digital integration with our largest servicing partner in Spain. The ANICAP and Galata teams are now accessing granular performance data on a daily basis with visibility to underlying borrower performance and key dynamics. Going forward, we expect further panel optimization, leveraging the local intelligence network that Galata provides in addition to insights from extended data capture. In Portugal, we have expanded our panel to reflect our increased scale, and on the back of relationships with services from other markets, have introduced a real estate specialist and a secured NPL specialist to our panel. All three panel members now provide extended data to our Minerva platform on a digital basis, providing comprehensive performance tracking information and the ability to benchmark our panel on granular operational metrics as opposed to solely aggregate collections. Our plans for the new year are to launch a Portugal operation that, like Galata in Spain, will provide asset management support and local intelligence in support of our master servicing model. These developments are consistent with our strategy of optimizing our operating model to drive collections performance without incurring high fixed costs. In addition to these specific initiatives to build out capabilities in selected geographies, we continue to develop our pan-European digital platform, Minerva. If you turn over the page to slide 15, I wanted to briefly touch on two examples of innovation where we have used Minerva as a central platform to manage specific collection campaigns. In Italy, we have added a legal specialist to our unsecured consumer panel. Early signs are very positive, with the challenger outperforming the benchmark curve by a factor in excess of two. And given that performance, we are now exploring further portfolio reallocation opportunities and enhanced data capture to enable us to optimize legal strategies further. In Portugal, we're taking advantage of improved economic conditions and leveraging our Minerva platform to drive two campaigns on non-paying accounts, one focused on litigation, one on skip tracing. And after positive initial results, we expect to extend these campaigns across other residual non-paying components of the book to uplift overall subscription rates. These are two examples of our ongoing program of digital innovation, leveraging a panel model and a centralized master servicing capability to drive optimal performance. I'll now hand over to Justin for concluding remarks.
Thanks, Ed. So in conclusion, as you've seen, we've completed just under $132 million of deployments so far this year, which has led to greater ERC diversification across our core geographies and embedded future growth in annual gross collections out to 2020. The primary focus on secured consumer and SME debt, asset types underpinned by significant collateralization, and where ANICAP has extensive local experience. Another representation of where we continue to try to seek out the best risk-adjusted returns. Strong financial performance with core collections continuing to grow from our seasoned back book, even as new capital deployment remains highly selective. Our ERC of $579 million versus $465 million a year ago represents a 25% increase. $78 million in core collections versus $76 million in the comparative nine-month period in 2017, again reflecting embedded growth even during periods when our deployment has been more selective. The leverage at just over four times last 12 months adjusted EBITDA within the market guidance, which on a pro forma basis, as Chris outlined, given the recent deployment, would be 3.18 times. We maintain a large and diverse pipeline across each of our core and targeted new geographies, particularly in secured debt, but we will continue to remain highly selective. This includes further progress in Poland, where we're in exclusivity on what would be AFE's inaugural portfolio transaction, leveraging Anacap's wider local investment track record. Finally, as Ed outlined, the continued development of the AFE operating platform, including key hires within Galata in both Spain and Portugal, as well as further investment in our digitally enabled asset management platform, continue to support an effective yet low-cost operating infrastructure. At this point, I think we'll turn it over to questions.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may signal over your phones by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 over your phones, and we'll pause for just a moment. And again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 for any questions at this time. Star 1. We'll take our first question from Peter Stallings with CBC Credit Partners. Mr. Stallings, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Do you hear me now?
Yes, you do.
Hi. You mentioned you still have to collect $50 million in Q4 and that some of this may slip into Q1 next year. Could you maybe quantify how much variability there could be in that $50 million? Is that sort of $5 million, $10 million, $20 million? Just to
we're on track as at the end of November. But if, you know, and, you know, we're still chasing that target hard for the year. But if it was a slippage, then I think it would be of that sort of order of $5 million. I don't think it would be any more than that if there are one or two positions that slipped into Q1. But as I said, at the moment, we're working hard to try and achieve that. And obviously, when you're a finance person, you always look at that with a bit of sensitivity, which I do all the time. But as I said, we're on track to hit that. But if $5 million did slip into next quarter, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, perfect. And then maybe looking a bit further into next year, do you already have some thoughts in how much you want to put to work in 2019 in terms of total investments?
Yeah, so I think it will be less than 2018. 2018 was the sort of, you should look at an average over the spend for 2017 and 2018, which gives around $110 million over that two-year period. And I think we haven't finalized our budgets yet, but that would be the starting point, and maybe a 10% growth on that. But it would be probably less than in the current year, unless we see some very highly attractive returns.
Thanks.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 for your questions. We'll go next to Rory McLaughlin with GSO Capital.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. I'm just wondering on the level of forward flows that you've built in 2018, and then obviously 2019 is going to be a bit smaller, but just your level of forward flows in general. Thanks.
Yeah, we don't have any forward flows. We might have, in the technical term of previously agreed prices, because this is all priced on an individual portfolio. There are portfolios where we might be a repeat buyer from the same seller, and we are looking at a couple at the moment that will probably fall into next year where the seller has sold us a portfolio already, but they are priced individually depending on the underlying collateral. And they're not technically forward flows. So the answer is we have no formal forward flows.
Yeah, I think just to add to that point, we have quite a significant representation of repeat transactions. I think part of the work we're doing in mining the core geographies that we've invested in historically is absolutely working with repeat sellers. So I think that is something we're seeing continued growth in. But as Chris stated, none of it's on a fixed price or forward flow basis.
Perfect. Thank you.
And gentlemen, at this time, we have no further questions in queue.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for attending the call and wish everyone a good end to the year. So thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.